The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, listen.
Conversation about it.
About what?
Us. One more week.
One-usmanship. Welcome to another episode of hashtag one-usmanship. We're just going to ride those coattails hard.
Yeah.
Associate this podcast with us in your mind.
Yeah, all of you accidental Jordan Peele fans who are listening to this podcast, now, keep listening.
Now, what do you mean by accidental Jordan Peele
fans? I mean, for that to work, for this joke to work as a real draw, they had to have clicked on this thing thinking it was about Jordan Peele's wonderful film, Us. Find out it isn't, but still listen because we tricked them.
Sure.
A good business plan.
You meant Jordan Peele had somehow concocted like content traps. You can accidentally become a Jordan Peele fan, wake up and be like, oh shit, I like Jordan Peele. I like Key and Peele. Yeah. I like to get out.
There are such a thing as happy accidents. Yeah. You know, like that's what that would be.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a very unhappy accident or two.
Yes. At least one.
One accident. For Claire, one for Leon.
Yes. If you take the I don't want to get into it. I was going to talk about, are there really two separate timelines in this thing?
Oh, cool. That bodes well. We do want to get into Resident Evil 2 Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
So we will.
Yeah. So that's what this is.
Checkpoint passed. That takes us to the speed run. Whose turn is it?
Oh,
Juan Rochambeau? I don't care.
My mind is blank now.
Really? We've
been so lucky.
You just played it.
I know, but we've been so lucky. Having guests that I've pushed off the speed run for months.
Well, by the way, behind the curtain,
yeah,
you're not as big on guests as me.
That's true.
Not
because I don't
like them.
You love
all the people that we love equally.
Correct.
But you don't feel a pressure. I go like, the show needs a guest or we can't record. And if schedules don't work out, you're like, we could just do it.
And I'm like, we don't ever have to have one. That's my opinion.
I think we have to have someone do the speed run. I'll take it. I don't care.
Good.
Speed run. Resident Evil 2 is a genre defining. It's a divine genre defining zombie survival horror game originally released on PlayStation 1.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Adam's going to confirm that, but I remember the graphics being that bad, and I remember being that tiny. When it first came out. But we decided to talk about it through the lens of the remaster. I do remember some aspects of the original that I want to talk about, but we're mainly talking about the remaster, widely available a month or two ago. And so everyone's been sort of revisiting Resident Evil 2. In it, you can play one of two characters, Claire Redfield and Leon Spinks, Trotsky, I don't remember, Leon the cop. And
Kennedy, Leon S. Kennedy.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Leon Skinnedy. Either way, you roll up to Raccoon City, which has been infested by a zombie virus. You fight various zombies until you're done fighting all the zombies. Much like most zombie plots, it's just get in, get out. The game was defined by having a limited amount of ammunition and other resources, inescapable horror elements, and a lot of the things we now take for granted in the genre we call survival horror, which, if to you whippersnappers out there, when I was a kid was not even a genre. Like, it didn't have its own separate classification.
Enough.
Yeah. And that's the speed round. Stop the clock, which I forgot to start. So I have the highest all-time score at 0 seconds.
It's like a game of street chess with you.
Speaking of street chess, bink, I hit a little clock on top, which is passing the checkpoint, finding Bobby Fischer. You have to do the first rant as
we'll
my
do the
point.
First rant.
Player one.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
It was that.
That was the moment.
I was watching you search for that transition, and it was not a pretty search, my friend.
I was a fisher of men, and the man I was fishing for was Bobby Fischer. No one knows what we're talking about.
No, that's a lot of references. Layered on layered. Here's what I thought. I thought this game was pretty good in general. Pretty good game. I think all of Resident Evil is... I like the formula of Resident Evil, which is essentially really hokey acting with pretty slow zombies. You're usually pretty slow also, where you have to find the right items to unlock the next area to get to the plot stuff basically three quarters of the way through. That's when you start getting real plot stuff.
I think you're pretty slow with this shit take on Resident Evil, but continue.
I don't hate the game. I'm just saying that... I think it's pretty good. I think people losing their mind over it seemed a little unjustified to me, because having just played Resident Evil 7, and just for the fan's sake, I can tell you, I've played 1, I've played 0, I've played 2, I've played 4, and I've played 7, and little bits of 5. So that's how much Resident Evil I've played. It's enough to talk about it. I thought that 7 was more interesting because I hadn't played 2 until this remake. So I don't know if the nostalgia factor is really important in people's reaction to this. In general, I thought the plot was whatever. I don't care about it. I think that the choice to remodel this game to be more like Resident Evil 4 was a good choice. It would have been really interesting if they'd made it first person. I think I might have liked it even better if it had been first
person.
4
wasn't first person.
No.
But seven was.
Yeah. Right, and this is post that, so that was kind of an interesting call. Because they chose to remodel it after 4,
right.
I think, and that was fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Resident Evil in general is fun, not amazing. I think I like the puzzle part better than the horror part in Resident Evil. I like the horror for the first hour of the game, then I find it frustrating, because the monsters get good enough that they're not fun to kill anymore. They're just a pain in the ass. And I think that's it for me.
Passing the reins to player two, I'm going to tell you a little story now.
Mm.
Gather around.
Wow.
My rant is a simple anecdote.
I think I saw an eye open on your shoulder just now.
What is that? Oh, it's a reference to the game we're talking about. Well played. Yeah, so when this game first came out, I was at a sleepover birthday party where a bunch of shit happened. Shit got wild, but I'll save most of it for a rough stuff episode in the future. Like dog semen was involved, but I won't even get
what
I'm saving it for a screenplay.
Now that is a teaser. Okay.
It is a teaser.
Yeah.
And the story's a letdown. It's the dog humped a pillow and its
and
semen
it came
out
on that
and
pillow.
We were all eight and we went, oh shit. Oh, John's mom, look what the dog did. Uh-oh. Someone's in trouble, but not really. Anyway, Joe was there. And Joe was not allowed to see movies other than, I believe, In the Name of the Father and one other one that featured a priest, because his family was so strictly Catholic, that Irish Catholic,
sure,
that he wasn't allowed to see films, which I don't think is a specific tenet of Catholicism.
No.
It's just that they were all so strict.
Yeah.
But my point being, even though In the Name of the Father is like crazy violent,
yeah,
I couldn't see it at that age. He could see that because it was an Irish Catholic priest and car bombings and stuff. Anyway, so of course no video games. And it was the night that Resident Evil 2 came out on the 3-disc set, like the OG one.
Yep.
And he started playing it, and he played it for like 34 hours consecutively.
Wow.
Completed it, wet his pants, refused to get up or move.
Sure. Literal addict.
Right. We all went. We're like, we're going to have a Nerf war in the park. And he's like, I reek of piss. I'm too far in. Just leave me. I'm playing Resident Evil 2. And I think his behavior is laudable and justified. I love Resident Evil 2. Well, that was to contrast with you saying it was unjustified. I think people should lose their minds about it. And it's fitting because zombies will discover those lost minds and gobble them up.
They sure will.
I have played 1, 2, 4, 5, some of 6 and 7. And I think 2 is the only one that actually feels like grounded horror. And
one.
And but they quickly went off the track into this land of like superhero horror.
Yes.
And I find 4 insanely fun from a gameplay standpoint, but 2 is the perfect iteration of the series for me.
Okay. That's what I've heard that a lot.
7 just is a stinker in my opinion.
But oh,
that's
really
a topic for a different interesting day. Well, I told you like I don't like I shit on Alien Isolation in our last talk about Dead Space for similar reasons. 7 is too far into what I would call modern survival horror, which is like we pulled out all the stops. You will feel anxious the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
it is
tense. Don't actually want to feel anxious the whole time. But that's my thing. End of rant.
That's interesting.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
So we'll pass another checkpoint, get out your typewriter ribbon, punch up, the Great American Novel. What are they
don't
writing?
Don't overwrite it?
What are they? Yeah.
I assume
a diary entry about what's happened since the last time you said
it. I assume.
Right?
There's a lot of self-narrated prose being typed out in this
Still
world.
Still miss my brother. hey, Adam.
Yeah.
What do you call someone who identifies as male homosexual and culturally Jamaican?
I don't know.
Game on.
My God.
Off the top of my head. Not
wow.
bad.
Wow. Okay, that's one of the better
that's
ones.
That's a new bar. Now yeah. I got to have a pun every time.
Like I had to rub my eyes and really think about that. That really got me. Okay.
Thoughts about the remaster? Well, should we start with discussing it as a piece unto itself first?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the differences between it and the original?
I think we should say the differences to the end, because I think that makes it... I think who cares about that as much as what the game is.
And did you
right?
play through the original or have
no,
memories?
No, I never played the original. I played through 1, which I understand is the same way that 2 was made, right? Where they had these, like, you were basically in still frames and you had to navigate through the space with that clunky control style.
Yeah, but I want to talk more about that if we're talking about the differences.
yeah, but I'm just saying.
So let's talk about RE2 Remastered as an experience.
Yeah.
Who'd you go for first?
I
Claire
played
or Leon?
Through Claire. I didn't finish Leon's thing because I was like, okay, I've played the game now. Claire is the
79% true.
Yeah. Because I remember Chris Redfield better than I remember Leon Kennedy for some dumb reason.
Is he in later games?
He's
remember.
In the first game.
Oh, he's the guy. That's right. But then he has the lore, you guys. The lore of Resident Evil.
I barely remembered it, honestly.
Nutty,
yeah.
Especially if you try to connect it to the films.
Well, the films go off the rails, right?
Right. Yeah. But there's a room. You do discover in the S.H.I.E.L.D. Special ops room a note on his locker that implies that he left before the zombie outbreak even started.
Yeah.
He went to Europe on vacation, but his letter's like, hey, don't wait up for me. I'm going to be banging lots of poon while I'm here. And she basically says he wouldn't write the note like that. And there's a clue later that, and I think it comes into the later games, it must, where he's actually been taken by Umbrella Corp to do more experiments on. And
I assume.
That forms the crux of 3. But I will say Resident Evil nerds are going to be dissatisfied with the depth of my detailed knowledge on the lore.
They should be. I would argue in general that Resident Evil isn't a lot more coherent than Metal Gear Solid.
Ooh,
it's
spicy.
Not, I know. It's not as stupid. But it's not a
spicy,
lot less
spicy.
Stupid. It's not. It's pretty stupid.
But this is what I'm saying about 2. So, and I think I just don't remember 1 as well because I think I was literally 11 when I played 2. So I must have been 9, and I just don't remember it really.
It came out in 2002, I want to say.
Then I should have been. Then all my memories are faulty, and I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm actually going to look up when that came out.
But the point is, I can say this with veracity. I don't have memories of 1, but I know for a fact I did play through it, and I can't speak to 1.
No, Resident Evil 2 is 1998.
There you go. So I was 13.
And that is PS1. You were right.
I was 13.
That. Yeah.
Regardless, I guess I just have an even shittier memory than I thought. 13's old enough that I should recall it, but I don't remember Resident Evil 1.
Right.
But all the other ones I do remember, when you compare it, as I said, they branch into this sort of Marvel universe, if you will, of zombies, especially when, because survival horror is all about empowerment and disempowerment, and in 4 they finally made the controls so good that if you practiced a little you were like, I'm fucking good, I'm stacking zombie bodies to
yes.
the roof, like you
and
didn't
then they made
feel,
the zombies harder
you didn't feel yes but and yes you still felt anxious if you eventually got swarmed, but it's different than the feeling in this remake where obviously, everyone knows Mr. X. There's one zombie that can basically not be killed and will always find you, It Follows style. And then even the other zombies, I would say, each individual zombie is an event. It's
was
like
the original Mr. X a Dick Tracy villain like this guy was? Is that what he looked like in Resident Evil 2?
I don't remember if he had, because a trench coat's fine. You have a giant homunculus. You send your assistant to the store. They go to the big and tall men's store.
That's a massive concession immediately.
What are they going to bring back? A trench coat makes sense. A muumuu, you know. But why?
Those
a
aren't
fedora?
The only two options.
Who puts a fedora on your giant zombie operative? Why does he need a Dick Tracy
You know
hat?
They had sketches that they get before they went to that whatever that yeah. that trade-in store where they got that fucking outfit from the 40s, that army surplus store or whatever. Yeah, they had sketches of what they wanted to look like.
Of course.
Because they dressed him like a villain. It's
I do
like
when you finally get a close-up of him in a cutscene, and he's oh, he's all wrinkled up.
Yeah, he's an old-looking man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big point I was trying to get out, and then it's your turn, is 2 to me, and this is also a spicy take, I think, if you excise all story elements in all other games and just focus on 2,
right.
And possibly 1, but I don't remember.
Sure.
It reminds me of the script for the original Die Hard. I feel like it's that tight. With that few extraneous pieces and that that level of precision execution of the story beats. And I think it is very, very one of the strongest zombie stories and worlds that plays out that I've ever experienced, self-contained. And then if you add 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it's well, this is no longer
this
self-contained.
This is garbage now, right. That's the problem
not
with
even
all
garbage
video
because
game sequels.
I also think 4 and 5 are fun as hell. But it's totally inconsistent, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but see, I still feel we're arguing from a place where, but it was always stupid a little bit. The first Resident Evil takes place in an old eccentric mansion, and it's got kind of a horror clue vibe, because there's people running around in that fucking mansion that shouldn't be there all the time. And there's a mystery that happens to involve a lot of people who are crashed, who are stuck in this place.
And I know
it's all convenient.
It has the Lara Croft and the Uncharted dilemma where
right.
you're who build a human-sized chess puzzle with gears underneath? Yeah, why would that turn happen? Lasers and mirrors into this haunted house. Who built this shit?
I understand making zombie people, but this fucking puzzle's stupid.
Well, dude, even like I just finished the Uncharted DLC, which is enjoyable, short but heard sweet. That. But it takes such. It's like how in Avengers now, you just go, they burn down the town fighting aliens, but the town will be rebuilt. It's fine. In Uncharted, they get to the point where it's like, oh, no one ever discovered that in the jungle, there's this little stone button that like rotates a crater 4 miles wide and makes a parabolic disc shine a laser across the continent.
The natives literally are literally losing their village right now because of the seismic impact of this.
Yeah.
it's true. It is very convenient.
And I will say, I think, well, that is a difference, but it's the difference that must be named early on.
Yeah.
The it's almost an accidental bonus, but like the fact that the original Resident Evil games, like you said, you're on stilts and you turn and walk forward.
And they're hard to play. They're physically hard to
the
play.
The controls are bad.
Yes.
It was sort of packaged and I think became embraced by the players who love it as, no, that's part of its vibe. That's what makes it hard. It's scary because the controls are so bad.
Yeah,
I keep getting caught.
Right.
And you're like, you can look at that, obviously, in one of two ways. And as I said, it's not even like throwing shade on the execution. They were working with what they had at the time or whatever. This is not the episode to talk about the original directly. But that fact made it feel like Alien Isolation. You would feel like throwing the controller at the screen. Like, why can't I get away? Oh, God, it got me again.
Yeah.
And I love the experience now that, even though Mr. X is terrifying in his own like quaint way, I felt like for the most part I had enough ammo, I could run away, and when I died it was because I fucked up and I knew how I fucked up.
I think that's true. I found there wasn't as much health as I was used to in a Resident Evil game.
Definitely not 4, 5, 6. They're dropping herbs all the time.
Yeah, and they're not dropping too many in this game. And it was a little light on the ammo. Like, because I every time I had to kill one of those like clicker blind hoppy fucking cheetahs, like those dudes, you know, I never had the ammo to kill multiple ones in a room for whatever reason. Maybe I'm just burning through grenades too fast, but
no, I think it's that you as a gamer, you are not stealth oriented.
No, I don't. Yeah,
I
that's
never
true.
Got caught by a licker, nor did I ever even think to try to kill one. They're blind.
You never killed a licker?
No, you're supposed to conserve your ammo by just walking past them. You memorize which rooms they're in, and you don't run in those rooms. The end. That's the sound of me wiping my hands. Like, no, but see, that's why you're light on ammo. I saved 64 bullets right there.
That's true. I just enjoy their death rattle so much.
I'll never
like,
hear
feeling
that sound.
Free to run. Because like the other thing about Resident Evil is it's one of the most backtracky games ever. And that, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
I actually think it pulls, each location pulls its weight fairly well.
Yeah.
And
so
actually,
you're not frustrated having to run through the mansion a bunch of times, you know, like, and mansion this time is police station, but actually museum.
Well,
enough. So, okay.
Well, yeah, police station built on an ancient set of catacombs that leads to an orphanage that also has a lab that goes into the bowels.
The lab stuff is always where it's like, this is garbage now, like in
is
terms
it?
Of narrative.
So
the labs are impossible.
Okay.
They're all impossible.
Damn, I don't know what to say.
They're all so dumb.
No, because you haven't seen us yet.
No, don't
we
say
have
anything.
To just veer the conversation.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Okay. But I guess I find vast underground labs not unbelievable. There's lots of stories that utilize that trope that I like.
That is true. I'm even writing a screenplay with one right now, now that
okay.
I think about it.
This is not a spoiler. Literally, frame one of us is text on black that says,
there was a lab.
There are vast underground tunnels throughout under the United States. No one knows what they're used for.
Oh, fair enough.
So I'm just saying, if Jordan Peele backs the trope, I'll give it. Like, that's a usable trope.
I'm not saying that it's unusable.
You said that's when the plot becomes garbage to you.
It's a little bit.
When there's Umbrella Corp shit,
under an orphanage.
Well, they're experimenting on those kids.
I know, but like,
of course,
these underground laboratories are not like, they're not like little rooms where there are like flasks and shit.
they're like vast, cavernous, floorless, like,
oh, it's like NASA shit.
It's insane.
It's like $1 trillion government program.
Yeah. It's like Langley times 10, you know, like it's so crazy in there.
That's true.
That's the part that's like, how is this happening?
Well, I think that's the artistic license they take of like,
sure,
they just handed it over to a concept artist, of course, and they didn't say the hypothetical government agency that was able to siphon money off of other projects to do this has this budget. They were like, draw it cool.
I'm sure that's what they did. But again, every zombie story,
cool lab.
Pretty much every zombie story I'm aware of feels beholden to like, listen, okay, it's zombies. We know. Zombies are dumb. So we're going to find a really grounded, intelligent reason why these zombies exist. That's not they're summoned from the dead, right? Like, it's not a magic thing. Like, there's a biochemistry this or that. So this game has gone so far the other direction to create a biochemical reason for these fucking zombies that it's like, to me, it's I'm true. Like, that's stupid. Like what's the difference?
If the plow were an iceberg, the part above the water would be shooting zombies, and the part under the water would be long explanations of how the zombies came to be. And
completely insane.
Which person, of course, the boss of one of the plot lines, I sometimes forget which is Leon's story, which is Claire's, but is you end up uncovering the basic and straightforward, I will grant you, but the reason I referenced Die Hard is tightly constructed, very clear and very engaging.
Very much so.
Story that is, oh, you slowly uncover it was this scientist. He had good intentions, but he pushed it too far. This happened.
Well, and he pride became about patient. His project.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he became patient zero, and the final boss is him. In the other story, the final boss is Mr. X.
Oh, okay.
Who that's they also call what? Project Titan or something? I was surprised.
I think he was a reference to the first one, too.
I was surprised when I went online and everyone was calling him Mr. X, because in the game I didn't see him called that anyway.
I think that's a thing people just know.
Okay.
I think it's like an internet knowledge. It's like, when do you find out in Shadow of the Colossus your character's name is Wander? I don't mean to harp on and on about how dumb it is. It's just that it feels like people don't care that it's dumb. And the reason most people like this Resident Evil is because it's the best narrative of them.
I would argue that people are doing due honor to the true innovations of the original, not the remaster, at that time when it came out. There weren't a lot of games that evoked horror that intense.
I'm sure that's true.
There weren't a lot of games where they said, like most games from that era were like, hold down the button, shoot infinitely. They're like, no, it's a little interesting. You're a little slow on your feet. You gotta conserve your ammo. It's like a thinking man's survival thing.
But why 2 over 1 is what I don't understand. Like, I understand why I would like this remake saying, over the first one.
If you're putting all the value on the innovations, why not 1?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
That's true. That's true. I'm not going to argue in the sense that I feel that all 2 really added is they had 2 stories.
Yeah.
The stories mostly overlap, but each person does have access to a full area that the other doesn't.
A 33% area.
Right. Roughly. And they have different weapons. So it's
one
true
different weapon each.
No.
Right?
No. More than that.
Okay.
Like, you could argue the differences are minor, but I feel like they feel very different. Claire tends to have like revolvers with a slow rate of fire and lots of damage. Leon's pistol is a Beretta that a cop would carry. So it's like pop, 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 pop.
Okay.
That feels very different when you're talking about a granular survival horror game. I sucked with Claire's pistol for a long time and it added to the, I think one has a grenade launcher and one has something instead.
Claire has a grenade launcher.
Leon has a flamethrower instead. I don't know.
Shotgun.
But the point is, I think there's like 2 or 3 weapons that differ, actually.
Okay.
But to your point, you're right. Maybe just because it's the one that sold that everyone remembers from this like correct time period, it has classic sequel formula. It's not like it invented new stuff. They were like, throw in a new character, a little more bonus content. But it one deserves more credit, probably.
Like, I think of this game as being sort of sneaky anime. Like it's got like some of the look and tropes of anime, like, but very small versions of it. So we think of it as being grounded.
Well, also the fact that I just think there's a storytelling difference between like, well, film is getting weirder and weirder, and weirder. Films are getting more and more acceptance, which is cool.
Yeah.
But traditionally, let's say 10 years ago, a zombie movie pretty much sticks to zombies. I mean, Walking Dead still, if you know what I mean, They look like a human corpse that's standing. Video games and comic books, for that matter, because they're longer form, have always been more about cool factor and therefore had license to be like, and I actually think that's, I think that's where it gets stupid. I understand why they're like, let's have liquors, let's have plant zombies, let's have Mr.
Plant
X.
Zombies, right.
But, you know, if I were making a movie, my note would be, now you got to explain how the plant zombies were in the blah, 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 blah. And unless you have the storytelling skill of like an Alex Garland, because Annihilation kind of does have a conceit that accomplishes all those things. But they don't do that. They actually go like, well, now we have plant zombies, so we have to put some text they can find that has a convoluted B-plot about how the plant zombies came about. They just build on the lore like it's a summer house with like no zoning laws.
They don't care.
They just keep adding and adding.
They don't care. That's why I still think that Resident Evil has the problem of basically needing to be contained to a house. Like, well, I think the best versions of Resident Evil narratively are contained to like one small like acre of land, basically.
I think people did find 7 revolutionary because it was kind of the company go like, we're going back to our roots, motherfuckers.
But I think that was a good decision.
No, I don't think it's a bad decision because, as I said in the Dead Space episode, survival horror is not my preferred genre.
Right.
So I'm not even going to say 7's bad. I'm going to say it was too scary for me to enjoy. I have a low threshold for that in games.
To me, what made 7 more appealing than 2 is the intimacy of it. Like, in 7, you're basically fighting 4 people.
Yes.
You know, that's basically it.
And I think that is back to their roots, because I think the big difference is in 1 and 2, especially because they don't regenerate. Like, when you finally kill, you know every zombie in the mansion in Resident Evil 2, like in the police station.
Eventually,
And you see their corpse and stays there for the rest of the game, and you're like, ah, Sharon the zombie, I killed her 3rd. I remember it well.
I have her molar on a necklace.
There's something that's really cool about that, and they pushed it even harder, where they're like, there's only 4 zombies you care about, but they're so hard to kill.
I thought that I thought it was interesting, because in Resident Evil 1's remake that I played on GameCube, sometimes they'd come back to life as like more intense zombies, like faster zombies.
I already like claimed ignorance on most aspects of 1. I don't remember that.
It's just interesting, like, what the rules are.
They'd come back multiple times in this, but once
animation
would change, though. When you killed them, like, the 3rd time, and you heard the right sound effect and saw the right animation, you'd be like, they're never coming
back.
That's that.
That's it for Sharon.
That's it, Sharon.
Give me that fucking
Sharon.
Molar.
Yeah. God damn it, Sharon. We asked you nicely. I need that herb, Sharon.
It's really challenging, by the way, how many headshots you got to land to take one of these guys down. Like
that's the scary.
Those heads
part.
Don't
that's
pop.
That's the anxiety-inducing part.
Right.
Yeah.
Most shooters, that head pops. You put one clean bullet into it. This
but
game,
that's how
they're not.
Work.
Yeah, I agree.
That's good.
I agree. That's not a complaint.
What are the liquors like when you do engage them? I never fought one.
Well, I think it's really important to have a grenade launcher. First thing. Like, they don't die quick.
Yeah.
You know, like you gotta shoot him in the head several times quickly.
Yes.
Or else you're in deep shit, you know?
And I forget the lore, but I'm like, why?
Why
it might not
why
be intentional.
They? Yeah.
I'm sure part of the plot could be that there's random mutations that they're not controlling any longer, but
well,
why
we know
the, why long tongue? Why a long tongue?
I mean, because it's cool. But we know there is, because the main villain is a man made of eyes, like, you know what I mean? Like,
which he didn't intend, probably.
It doesn't seem
what
like
if the project all
that.
Along was shoulder eyes. They thought super soldiers needed shoulder eyes.
Listen, you don't know how important that field of vision can be. Like, maybe 6 inches lower than your regular eye and bigger. Holy shit.
And they're like, we're shutting you down. It costs trillions of dollars. You're just making shoulder eyes. And he's like, you just want credit for my work. Dude, no one wants credit for this. We're just shutting it down.
Right.
No, shoulder eyes can be on your tombstone. We don't care.
I'm deleting this conversation. Yeah. Like no one's going to remember it. Yeah, I don't think that the plot is as good as people think it is. What about the remake?
I want to ask, why do you feel the dynamic has reversed, whereas like psychoanalyze either one of
us.
Why would I mostly care about story, and I feel like this game's very strong on story, and you mostly don't care as much about story.
I don't care as much.
And you compared it to Metal Gear Solid.
Because it's hokey.
Which I consider the worst story in a AAA franchise running. Like, it's the worst one we got.
It's out there.
Yeah. Anthem's gonna, but they're in their infancy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anthem's lore is really bad
I've
so
heard
far.
That. I've played 2 hours of Anthem and not thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mostly because it's not that it's not tight or clear or well-structured. Those things about it are good. It's just that the basic experience and tone of it are stupid, in my opinion.
Do you feel that that's only true once you get into Act 3 and you're in a land?
No,
the
it's silly the whole time. Like,
okay.
Part of it is bad voice acting. Like, it's interesting. It doesn't feel like they went back and fixed that.
I don't think they just used the original.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
I should.
Because the acting's really bad.
I should have done more research into if the. Yeah, I wonder if the audio are just remastered audio files from back in the day, or they rehired actors to go into the booth.
I don't. But we. But like, and I don't mean this to disparage.
It's bad
anybody.
Either way. It's not
bad.
Good.
It's not good.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't accept it in a video. You
right,
would say
this
is bad. Right,
but sometimes you could. I'm just saying they could argue, you know how people do this, like, but this is the criterion. We weren't going to fuck with the, you know, it is what it is. We're enshrining
I think that people who think this is good narrative, and I'm not saying you, but like people who are really connected
to
it.
I do think it's good, too.
Well, how much do you like B-movies? Because it really feels like a B-movie to me.
It doesn't to me. That's what I think is interesting.
Really?
To dig into. No.
Like, even the tone of it feels B-movie-ish.
It feels like a tight... person in trouble, shit gets worse and worse and worse, and
sure.
against all odds they finally succeed at the end, like Die Hard, and they go through some shit.
Yeah, but there's not a single engaging character. Like, there's not a human being like Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard.
They
like
are
John McClane.
Nowhere near as charming or endearing
or
as
relatable.
John McClane. But I do think I found this time that I was surprised at how much dialogue does make especially Leon relatable, because I remembered him being like
an alien.
Did you ever play Dead to Rights or Max Payne?
Max Payne I played, yeah.
Max Payne actually has one layer, which is he's tortured. His past was bad.
Right.
But but like Just Cause or Dead to Rights, I forget which one I even mean, has like super generic cop guy. All you know is he's good at copping.
Sure.
And I remembered Leon being that, but this time I was like, oh, no, he has, like, a soft side. He's very empathetic. Mm. He always saves the cat.
Yeah.
He has, like, a coy innocence about him.
Yeah, a boyish charm.
I find myself falling for him day by day.
Yeah.
Here at our estate in Winthrop. and then I thought Claire felt more like they added in a second character, and she just says what she needs to say to advance the story.
That might have been true in 1998. Are you saying this still felt?
Sure.
Still feels true?
That still feels true. I assume they use the same script, if not the same files.
I don't know
for sure. But
I'm just going to respond to it as it is now.
Right. But no, so I would...
She didn't feel real. I agree with that
And
critique.
You haven't played the whole Leon story.
I haven't played all of Leon, so maybe that's fine.
And I'm not even putting him on the same level as how engaging John McClane is.
Certainly.
But more so than Claire. I saw some character
I'm
development.
I'm willing to accept that.
Yeah.
It does seem to me like Claire got the lion's share of the meaningful narrative to this, though. Like, it's her story where we get the entire scientist gone wrong, plus his daughter and wife story. Like, all of that plays out in Claire's narrative.
Right.
It doesn't play out in Leon's,
actually,
right?
As Tom Ryman told us, they switched.
Yes.
The ending bosses used to be the opposite way.
And I wonder if that's...
So they obviously
her story
took
more
some
impactful.
Licenses. Well, if they're trying to do something about gender parity, I think it's undermined by the fact that they each have one bonus costume. Do you check that out?
No, but is it a swimsuit?
Leon's is just slightly different looking full tactical gear.
Right.
Hers is a swimsuit and a cowboy hat. Because it's still a video game, dude. Those gamer gators, you don't want to lose that Gamergate dollar. They need their little boners popped.
I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't, because it's so bad and dumb.
It's actually,
it's
bad.
It's really bad and really dumb, but it's also
funny.
So predictable.
And transparent.
If you can't have your character dressed like Quiet, why are they even here?
yeah.
Like, Quiet is the only character
and
we
people
want.
People are going to come at me, because it's not technically a bathing suit. I think it's like a mesh top and short shorts, but
it does that job.
It was a funny way to say what I wanted to say. Yeah. And if you check it out, the point is there. I'm not pulling
that's
it out
dumb.
Of my ass.
Who cares? You know, like, I don't
yeah.
know.
Who cares?
Who cares? I don't care about it. But I mean, who cares? Like, why do I need that from a video game? I would love to get into eroticism in video games later in some other place.
There's a lot of... you say. Finish your thought.
It's like... Like, for instance, I don't know why I want a boner at the same time as I want to be afraid of a zombie. Like, I don't know why I want those two experiences simultaneous.
I'll go you
Maybe
one...
people do. I don't want that.
I'll go you one further. No, I don't. And as soon as I was old enough to have actually had sex a fair amount and like I can cobble together memories and remember and be like, yep, sure. That's what sex is like.
Sure.
Like it wasn't some fantastical mystery in the future, like when you're 13, 14,
right.
15.
Right.
All kinds of media feels like, well, this is just to get a 16-year-old so horny that they give you money, or I don't even understand the goal. And I'll go you one further. Like James Bond is weird to me.
Sure.
That I understand that it's a correct character choice that he would be gallivanting around sure. the globe boning women. But when we actually take the time to slow down and have a romantic love scene where the lighting and shots are designed as if I was like, I saw him kill some guys. Am I supposed to now get a boner and then we'll cut back to killing guys? I don't understand why this is here.
Like, I'm told that this used to be an experience for people when they fought in war. You know what I mean? Like sure. they used to they're rape and pillage, right? Like that's what it is. Are we trying to make that a sensation? Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it either. Also,
and like
really
Game
quick,
of Thrones, it's like. I can see porn. I want to see people's faces get chopped off in thin slices on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I don't need butts.
Game of Thrones is not as much violence and scare porn. Like, those feelings are opposite to me. That's what I don't understand.
But that's what I'm saying is I always think sex is great to include in a story because it's one of the fundamental human interactions.
Sure.
I think we shy away from it too much.
Yeah.
But... when you shoot it like a porn and the editing is like, this is meant to arouse.
The tracing shots and so on.
I question like how that tone got in there and why.
Right.
And if it's just to get like the top 10% of people who are horny and think about sex all the time, it's just to get them in the theater or game chair. Or
like
whatever.
We need that.
I don't know. Are people stopping Mass Effect to like quickly jerk off to the sex scenes? Why?
Are they picking the right people for that? Right. Maybe they are. Yeah. What can I say?
Recent one that blew my mind was rewatching Space Jam.
Yeah, they have all those sexy bunnies, right?
One sexy bunny.
Yeah. Lola?
Like her Lola Bunny, but her number's 10 because she's a 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bill
yeah.
Murray is even obviously attracted to her. And there's shots where they're low shots and she like bends down and her butt gets like big and sexy and round for your face to look at. And what was weird is now as an adult to have the full understanding of like adults in their 30s to 50s were like, we gotta make the kids who will see this children's movie pop their little boners about this cartoon rabbit. That's going to help the movie. That's good for the movie.
That's how you sell a Space Jam
right
there.
Like, why do you want me to be feeling this about this cartoon bunny? I don't understand
the fusion. It feels as antiquated as a number of things that inspired it, probably.
Yeah.
But just really quick.
Back to the game.
James Bond is an interesting example because the amount of nihilism that man has to have in him to do what he does... is like, oh, why don't they make like a nihilist James Bond? That's a movie I'd be interested
in. Well, where he like cries after sex.
Oh, no, I don't think he feels. I think he's like very empty.
You mean explore it
like an
as
incredibly
if it
empty man.
Well, it is true because he is able to compartmentalize to an inhuman degree. He'll be like, let's have sex. This is good. It's a good opportunity for sex.
This is the next thing
I like
you.
And if she had seen the movie, I would think most of the women he's with would be like, do you need some time? You just shot 5 guys in the head. And he'll be like, no, they were bad guys. It's nothing to me. That's fine.
See,
I classify them as bad guys. That's over. That's in the past. And it's like, you killed
You're talking to the wrong
human
guy.
Beings.
You're talking to the wrong guy. Me 5 minutes ago? Maybe he did. Me now? Nope. Don't need it. I just think it's fascinating what it would be like to portray his actual nihilism. Like, oh my God.
Well, to bring it back to zombies, that's what I always think is so interesting about things like The Walking Dead and Resident Evil falls under this category too. If in life there was an epidemic, because we have epidemics. In history, we have pandemics that took humanity by surprise and people right. got boils and died suddenly.
Spanish influenza.
If someone I love took sick as part of a pandemic and died and then came back and was exhibiting zombie-like symptoms, I still, because this is the real world, and I think most people would agree with me, I would not go, oh, zombie rules, destroy their brain. They're not in there anymore. How do you know that? There's people who are schizophrenic. There's people in comas, but they're still in there. What if they're just really sick?
What if they're real down in there?
And I just imagine Resident Evil 2, the zombies all having a still functioning human mind that's thinking like, I know I can't control my bloodlust and I keep attacking this guy, but I'm really rooting for him. I hope he cures us. And he's like, pow, 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 I'm killing all these zombies.
Yeah. What if they're just in sheer terror, like in a mind prison?
Or, yeah, like as sick as you can be. But
yeah, you never see anybody doing experiments on a zombie to restore their humanity. That's a beat you never see in a movie.
The humanoid ones are worse, because to me, in Walking Dead, it is crazy cavalier how they're like,
They're not in there anymore.
Yeah, to the point where it escalates. We're now episodes, you know,
right.
It's funny. They're just walking through the woods. They cut a zombie's head off and it's the cold open.
Right.
And I just want the last episode to reveal like they were all human. They all were like, please help us. That's all they were doing.
Right. Yeah. Just one stray electrode is probed into the wrong spot and you hear it. You know,
oh,
like,
my God. Or someone does come with a big baggie of pills. They're like, we invented this. You pop it. In 24 hours, they're back to their old selves. As long as you didn't destroy their brain.
It's me, Tim. I remember every single thing.
No good.
That would be pretty sad. Okay, so is there anything better about this one in terms of the puzzles than other Resident Evils in your mind?
In my mind, that they're more organically woven into the world and that they're less obtrusive. Admittedly,
that's true.
It's a
they're
big,
not as dumb.
It's a big offer, in the same way that Silent Hill goes there. It's a big offer that there's like a gothic underground section to this small town police station. And
the police station being in a museum is also insane.
And if you have a $1 trillion underground lab.
Right.
That you still left one door that connects the underground tunnels from the Gothic era to the lab.
Right.
Like you can get there to there.
Why that?
Yeah. I still found that the puzzles, I was like, at least the puzzle is there's a novelty badge and you have to open the inventory and look at it and you realize, oh, it's a USB drive. Or there's buttons missing from a control panel and you find the buttons. One, if it did come back to me as you described it, and I do remember one very much more being kind of like Seven does more homages to.
Yeah.
It's like you have a quarter of a lion emblem from the 1700s, bronze one, and you got to put it on the right pedestal and be like, now I need like, the silver one and the platinum one. Yeah.
And who made this bullshit? Yeah.
This game at least only had... It had the three emblems at the beginning. You pop them in the statue. Everything else that I remember is pretty much like, oh, that object could exist in that environment.
None of the keys and locks. Not a single heart-shaped, clover-shaped, fucking
spade-shaped
key.
The locks in this station are based on suits and a deck of cards.
No.
It's kind of far.
That's
yeah.
stupid. Yeah. Not impossible, but real dumb.
Real
like in
dumb.
A museum? If you're the curator of that museum, you're like, hey, Freddy... I know how cute you got with the locks, but this isn't art, bro.
This is a problem in all survival horror games that are confined to. Because here's the thing that's different than film that I actually think I want your idea on what solutions or good tactics are. How do you resolve this? Because in a game, of course, you're controlling the thing, so you have much more of a feeling of, I would have done that, or why can't I do that? And it's so easy in a survival horror game, let's say... In Seven, people often point out, all you want to do is get out, and there's a point at which you realize your girlfriend, like, it's basically too late for her. And many of the windows have a not convincing amount of boarding up.
Right, why aren't you kicking
you
that
like,
out?
You, like, kick the window and crawl out and walk to your car.
You spend so much time hammering up the windows in this game.
Right.
You know, to keep zombies out.
And I don't know what the best solution for that is, but RE2... also has that problem.
Well,
there were a lot of things where I'm like, well, I would do that. Well, I'd burn this building down, you know, stuff like that.
Resident Evil 1, it was at a level where it was like, these were cops, and it seemed like there was reasons for them to try and figure out what was going on here. Like, they were in an investigation.
Well, and Claire, they give her, she's trying to keep a child alive. That's human. That's engaging.
Trying to find out what happened to her brother, I think.
But as we said, like a third of the way through, you can find that letter in the locker room, and
she doesn't believe it. Right.
But she does feel like, oh, he's not here. And then she goes, you know, but I'm going to get you to your mom. Don't worry. Her mission becomes getting the kid back to her mom.
Sure. That was also kind of a big offer, in my opinion.
Well, and that it turns out that she happened to survive and be wandering around, and her mom happens to be the other lead of the project, and she's engaged in this massive battle with her husband, who was the guy who got zombified by his own virus.
That's completely absurd, yeah.
Everything but connects fine. In a soap opera way. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, also, and I know we're harping on
the
story.
The corrupt police chief.
Yes, what is his deal? That's exactly what I was going to get to.
I got to say, that reminded me of, like, did you see the season of Dexter with Lithgow?
I saw pieces of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I felt like he elevated, because I forget which story he's in. Is he in Claire's story? He's not in one of them.
He's in Claire's.
Okay.
Yeah.
He features largely in Claire's story and he's very little in Leon's.
Real silly.
Oh, it's just interesting. He reminded me of the Trinity Killer, which people consider like such a great, menacing, iconic season-long arc. And to me, I was like, he really elevates it because he really horrified me. And
he is scary.
In the remaster, his design is very good. Like, you fucking hate his guts.
Yeah.
You believe he's sociopathic. You believe he would kill a child. Escaping in the nursery as the little girl, escaping from him, was maybe my favorite segment.
The main thing that people always forget about sociopaths is that they're very good at convincing you they aren't sociopaths. That's like a number one ingredient to being a sociopath. So it's always weird to me when, like, a corrupt police chief comes out there and, like, just stay away from her, goddammit, with the gun blazing.
I think
why does he talk her out of it?
It's more accurate to call him a psychopath, and we're probably doing sociopaths a disservice. So apologies.
Yeah.
But it does make you wonder, well, if he's a psychopath with anger problems, whose solution is, I'll just fucking shoot you. No, this kid's getting murdered and I'm getting the money. Like, he's just that.
Right.
How does he hold down his job as police chief day to day, like the public facing part?
Again, I think it relies on our prejudices about cops, right? Okay, fair enough. You know, like,
sure.
There are maniac cops, so okay, fair enough. This seems a little insane, but fine.
Well, it's a horror story, and he's built up into being one of the horror antagonists. Because, of course, you don't want, ideally, in your zombie thing, for the only threat to be zombies. You want some evil people.
I think that I would have, again, I just feel like the difference between this kind of character and the ones in One is that in One, everybody seems to be trying to solve a problem, but like they're severed off for various reasons. And so you don't feel like you're dealing with an antagonist. You feel like you're dealing with a house that's the antagonist. And this game chose to give you the cop and, like, you know, the zombies also, and then Mr. X and, like, just all these things that were, like layers on layers of bad guys. And that's interesting. Maybe people like having bad guys more than they like having
obstacles. Well, and what's her name, the project lead lady that you're trying to get back to?
The ruthlessly heartless woman.
Is kind of amoral and neutral in Claire's story and is even worse in Leon's. Like, in Leon, she's your antagonist. She's constantly fucking with you and angry.
She's awful. Immediately unlikable.
Well, she decided to abandon her child during the zombie outbreak.
And kind of doesn't give a shit ever until the very end. She's like, what have I done? And you're like, been a terrible mother?
You know what you did.
Yeah.
Every step, you knew what you were doing.
Right.
Like, you put your work over the kid. That's a choice. You just have to live with it now.
Sometimes a monster is born and you're among them. I don't know what to say to you. Okay, so gameplay-wise, they chose to model this after 4. Do you have any complaints? I liked it quite a bit.
No, I like it better, but I understand if people who are more survival horror junkies think it was a terrible decision, because I do feel that part of the survival anxiety in 2 came from the controls being bad.
I think that's a stupid reason to have anxiety. But you know what I mean? It's like for instance,
you can't control what... I'm just saying, when I play that game, I get anxiety.
I mean, that's a stupid game design reason to create anxiety.
Oh, that's
what I mean. Yeah, not.
I agree. I think it's a limitation that they passed off as... It kind of works with the tone anyway.
Right. Bad controls are not a good design strategy, even if you build a narrative about it.
What's another one where I can't off the top of my head, but I do feel like there are 3 or 4 games I could think of if you gave me 2 minutes where you're like, they tried to pass off bad controls as part of the game, but they're just bad controls.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I can't think of any offhand either. But
good, because we're out of fucking time.
Okay.
Passing a liquor quietly so dumb. As to keep our bullets.
Just going to bite you in the ass later.
For later engagements, we swiftly bring the proceedings to a close with a little segment called Keep or Delete.
Keep or Delete.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm deleting this. Are you going to keep it?
Dang.
Well,
say a little piece about it. This segment's becoming too short.
Yeah, because we're too presumptuous about it. I don't think this game is like among the most important survival horror games. Not even like not the remake nor the original. I could see a case for Resident Evil 1, and I can see a case for Resident Evil 4.
I'm going to not ask you for your number one because it's hard on the spot, but does anything rise to the surface of your mind?
Dead
what
Space.
Are the most important influential survival horror
is,
games?
Okay. Is a better one. I should make a list of that because it'd be hard to entirely exclude Resident
Evil.
Yeah,
that'll get you directing work.
Right.
We should all go home
Here's
and make
list.
Lists of video games.
Yeah, good job. Way to advance in your career with your lists. I mean, Resident Evil 1, it's hard to understate how important it was. That's why I don't understand why everybody's got such a two boner. You know what I mean? Because, like, one is a big leap forward in video games. Two is a little more of it.
Yeah.
Like a little better, a little more.
Everyone's got their Alan 2 dicks all boned up over Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. I can't. I wouldn't keep this. I might keep one, and I might keep four. And that's it for me.
I would keep two and four.
Over one?
Yeah, because I don't remember it.
Oh, man, we got to play that one.
There's
then.
Probably a reason everyone agrees with me, or I agree with them, rather.
I think it's probably a better game. But
did it
like,
just sell more? Is that why people talk about it more?
I also think it's like it's fans talking, not like people who play video games, but like people who are fans of this series.
All I can say is I think Resident Evil is a notable franchise, and if I would keep any, it would be two for all the reasons I mentioned. And four for gameplay. And even four is on the fence. Because when I first played through it, I'm like, this is how Resident Evil should be.
Right.
But as I said,
it's really good.
As I age and like I've played through it like two or three times, I'm still like, this is really good, but I never feel scared. And it feels really like cartoony. And that bothers me more than it used to.
So many games are built on it now. Like it's like such a building block for games now, which Resident Evil is not. But four also had,
with the Wiimote, it really felt like a motion control, the same as a VR wand feels. So it's like four was really ahead of its time. They don't do that again until seven because that incorporated the VR. Yeah.
I mean, four is a really important game, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who are saying two is the best Resident Evil, and I can't say this for sure.
Are zombies.
But it's like, you know how there's like a faction of people that say like Majora's Mask, dude, is like a top two Zelda. Like, you know what I mean? Like Majora's Mask, bro. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Are we finding out you don't like Majora's Mask?
I think it's great. I don't think it's like in the top five. Maybe I don't think it's in the top three.
No, it's Ocarina. Majora's Mask Ocarina, is just a sequel.
It's Breath of the Wild. It's the original Legend of Zelda. It's Wind Waker. Like, you know what
Wind
I mean?
Waker. I don't think Wind Waker is that important in the Zelda canon personally. But
fair enough. And we can debate that in some other episode. Right. But I think that's what we're dealing with here.
Just because you radically change the way it looks doesn't mean the gameplay is innovative. That's my two cents on Wind Waker.
We're going to have to talk about that one day.
But, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe one keep, one delete. What did you think? Type it in.
Yeah, let us know in a place where we can read it.
Is one better than two? If so, why is two the one everyone talks about?
Why two, not one? I'd like to hear people's cases for
Are you a Leon or a Claire? Take our quiz. Find out.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.